Been a long time since you've seen that, hasn't it? In fact, I think there are a lot of folks here with us this evening who don't even recognize that. You probably have seen the game show, To Tell the Truth. It continued into the 1980s, some version of it, but that earliest logo there that you see on the screen, and incidentally, there's nothing wrong with the picture, that was the color it was in originally. In fact, everything we had on our TVs back then was that color. You've heard, young folks, of black and white TV. Well, that's how everything looked. To tell the truth, this sermon is not about a game show. It is about telling the truth, though. All of us, in various ways, from time to time, will surely be tempted or will face the temptation to tell something other than the absolute truth. And tonight, I'd like to challenge us with a few points on the necessity of always telling the truth, no matter what. I think I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating. I heard about a guy who received a call from his wife just as she was getting ready to board a plane headed home from Europe. He was at home, she'd been traveling, and her first question to him was, "How's my cat?" "He's dead," he said. "Oh, honey, don't be so blunt and honest. Why didn't you just break the news to me slowly? You've ruined my trip," she said. And it kind of hurt his feelings when she said that. So he said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you could have told me that he was up on the roof. And then when I called you from Paris, you could have told me that he was acting a little sluggish. And then when I called you from London, you could have said he was sick. And when I called you from New York, you could have said he was at the vet. And then when I arrived home, you could have told me that he was dead." Well, the husband had never really been exposed to such protocol before, but he was willing to give it a try. "Okay," he said, I promise I'll do better next time." "Oh, honey," she said, "that's okay. By the way, how's Mom doing?" There was a long silence, and he said, "Well, she's on the roof." You know, we've all had times when we were faced with the choice, and it never really seems like a real simple choice when it's upon us, but the fact is it's a choice to be honest or be dishonest. Some people have even been able to convince themselves that it's entirely appropriate and acceptable to tell a lie, if the stakes, so to speak, are high enough. And because we're living in a culture where more and more people have a lesser and lesser regard for telling the truth, it's getting to the point that it almost feels like you can't trust anybody anymore these days to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But is it any wonder that we have developed this expectation? We seem to be exposed to lies and misrepresentations on every hand, every day. Our political leaders are careful to craft their words just such a way that they can't be pinned down to anything. The advertising industry thrives on being able to say things that seem to be really true, but actually aren't always. And everybody's got Snopes.com in their favorites in order to be able to look up those mischievous, misleading emails, most of which really aren't true. It's no wonder today we seem to have lost a little bit of our appreciation for truth-telling. Tonight I want us to dig into this a little bit deeper, and I'd like to propose three very bold questions that we need to ask and see if we can't find a Bible answer to. Let's begin with this one. Is there ever a time when it is acceptable to tell anything other than the truth? Now, I'm sure you've heard, just like I have, all of the scenarios that people come up with. Well, what if it's going to involve so and so? What if it's going to really hurt somebody's feelings? What if it's going to involve a tragedy and you just don't want to be the one to have to tell it? Or what if it's going to get you in trouble down the road? What if it's going to get somebody else in trouble? What if? You know, there's always the option of just not saying anything. But is there an acceptable time? Is there ever a time when it is acceptable to tell anything other than the truth? In order to find the right answer to that question, I think we need to go to the standard for truth, the Word of God, and consider these things. First of all, Jesus never lied. Not at any time, not in any way, not for any reason, Jesus Christ never lied. I know that because the Bible says it both in prophecy, it explains it as he was in present tense, and it refers back to it as a fact. In Isaiah 53, verse 9, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich, it was with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53, of course, is the passage that describes the suffering servant Jesus Christ 1,000 years before he was actually born, and said, among other things, there was no deceit in his mouth. During his ministry, the fact is brought out that Jesus was the very source of truth. And then Peter even quotes from the Old Testament prophecies, referring again to the fact that there was no deceit in his mouth. If you look through the New Testament, you will find at least 75 times when Jesus used the phrase, I tell you the truth. Now, Jesus didn't use it quite like we do sometimes. You know, sometimes we feel compelled to use those words because it may be that our reputation is not always for the truth. And so sometimes we have to say, I'm telling you the truth. And we usually say it in that kind of a tone, as though, I know you don't always believe everything I say, but this time I'm really telling the truth. Jesus didn't use it that way. Jesus is the one of whom the Bible said there is no guile about him. There is no falsehood about him. Jesus told the truth. Honesty was something that Jesus placed a great deal of emphasis on. His every word was accurate. His every sentence was true. He didn't cheat on any tests. He didn't stretch the truth or shade it to avoid it. He simply told the truth. No deceit was ever in his mouth. God is very blunt about the matter of honesty. In Psalm 101 in verse 7, God said, he who practices deceit shall not dwell in my house. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. You know, there's enough there in just that one singular verse to take care of all the liars on all of the earth. He who speaks falsehood shall not maintain his position before me. From the very first page of his book to the very last, from Genesis to Revelation, the theme is the same. God loves truth and God hates deceit. In Proverbs 12, verse 22, we read, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among his brethren." And then in Psalm 5 and verse 6 we read, "Thou dost destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit." I think that's sufficient evidence to the fact that God despises dishonesty. And he's very clear about it. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, the New Testament Christian is admonished that each should speak truth with his neighbor. Is there ever a time when it's acceptable to tell anything other than the truth? Not if you want to please God. Not if you want to stay within the boundaries of God's approval. Not if you want to follow the example of Jesus Christ. No, there is never an acceptable time to tell anything other than the truth. Question number two. Why does God take such a tough stance on this? Number one, dishonesty is absolutely contrary to the character of God. Absolutely contrary to the character of God. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us." It's not that God has just chosen not to lie. That's what we have to do. It is impossible for God to lie. It is totally outside the bounds of his nature. God, because of who he is, and who he is so far beyond our own ability to understand and completely rationalize, but God does not lie because God cannot lie. Now, you and I, on the other hand, we can. We're in that category that we have to choose not to lie. And we must choose not to lie because we can't lie and follow the example of Jesus. We can't lie and stay within the approval of God. Not only is dishonesty contrary to the character of God, consider this fact. Satan finds it impossible to tell the truth. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus was speaking to a group of people who were following in the footsteps of the old devil himself. And Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's John 8, verse 44. Some people look at you like, I didn't know that was even in the Bible. Satan finds it impossible to tell the truth. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, we read there how Satan repeatedly lied and stretched the truth and misapplied Scripture in that exercise that he went through in trying to get Jesus to sin. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 says, the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Now we've all heard that passage so often that we can probably almost quote it. But notice its value to the point that's under consideration. The devil stood right there, crawled, hovered, whatever, however he conveyed himself back in those days when he took the form of the serpent, and he said to the woman, I don't care what God said to you, God is not telling the truth. You won't die. Well, guess what? It was the devil who was lying, and God was telling the truth. You know, I've heard it said that Satan tried to discourage Eve. I've heard it said that he tried to seduce Eve. I've heard it said that he was deceiving her mind. The fact is, he lied to her because the devil always lies, and that's why God takes such a tough stance on the matter of telling the truth. Third and final question. Why then do we lie? Why do we lie? Somebody says, oh, I never lie. There you go again. Whether we call it lying or stretching the truth a little bit or telling a fib or whatever terminology you want to use, the fact is, as long as we're living our lives here on this earth in these human bodies, we're going to be tempted. The temptation will be very strong. And we must constantly be careful to always tell the truth. Why do we lie? Some of the answers are obvious. Satan lies to us. He sets an example, and a lot of people choose to follow the example that the devil sets. The devil has a way of entrapping us, and sin itself entraps us. You've heard mention of the fact that if you tell one lie, then before long you feel like you've got to tell another lie because of the one you told, and you've got to prop it up with another one, and then it takes another one to keep all of that from falling down, and then it takes another one and another one. That's just one of the ways that sin entraps us. Sometimes we lie because lying is more beneficial to what we think is our self-interest than telling the truth would be. But then there are also some answers to that question that may not be quite so obvious. Sometimes we lie because the fact is we don't really always like the truth. Adam and Eve hid from God in the Garden of Eden because they knew the truth. They had believed a lie from Satan. They didn't like the truth, and in fact, they were afraid of the truth. And so they hid from God. As one little fellow put it after Sunday school class, when his mother asked him what the memory verse had been that day, he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you squirm." And from his standpoint, I suppose that was pretty close to the truth. Sometimes we lie because we don't trust the truth. Sometimes we lie because we don't trust the truth to get the job done. Sometimes the job that the truth will do will not be pleasant. It won't be what we might call a good experience. And so some people choose to tell a lie instead. Our culture tells us that telling the truth is no fun. They tell us that telling the truth is associated with strict control. And there's no benefit to that. They say if you tell the truth, you won't get what you want. As though the truth is inadequate for what we really need. Sometimes we lie because we want other people to like us, and so we flatter them. We may call it buttering them up. God calls it lying. We want people to admire us, and so sometimes we exaggerate. We might call it stretching the story a bit. God calls it lying. We want people to respect us, so we live in houses that we cannot afford. We charge bills that we cannot pay. We call it keeping up with the Joneses, whoever the Joneses are. God calls it living a lie. Yes, that's true, whether we're talking about the actual words that we speak or whether we're talking about the deeds that we do and the way that we live, if it's not anchored in the truth. It is a lie. No matter why we lie, we cannot escape the consequences of deceit. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Now, you need to think carefully about what that passage says. It basically says, don't lie because you're not supposed to be a liar anymore. You've become a new creature in Christ. And if you're a new creature in Christ, your spiritual life is being renewed day by day. But if you go back into the old life and take up the old habits and tell the lies, then you miss out on that spiritual renewal in addition to having to deal with all of the consequences of not telling the truth. Revelation 21, verse 8, we'll close with that verse. "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be at the lake which burns, in the lake which burns with fire and sulfur, or fire and brimstone, which is the second death." To tell the truth is one of the most important aspects of our mission as God's servants. Because if we fail to tell the truth in every regard, in every situation, in every way, then we become our own biggest hindrance on the road to heaven. If you're not a child of God this evening, why not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? If you've already done that and become a child of God in the way that the New Testament teaches, but perhaps you've become unfaithful in your service to God, why not come back and be restored? We're going to sing this song to encourage you. If you need to respond to the Master's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.